Today's Mishnah in Masechet Parah, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is Perek Yud Aleph, Mishnah Zayin. So yesterday we happened to mention, in terms of the din of Tumah, what kind of things could be Mekabel Tumah, and we spoke about an Ezov, which is considered to be Roy Lachiva, and if it was Mukhshel Lekabel Tumah, so then it, in fact, is going to be mitameh from anything that is toned bias Mayimi Divrei Sefer. Once we spoke about the Ezov, we move on to discuss, for a few Mishnayos, what defines, actually, the Ezov, because there are so many varieties of Ezov, and the question would be, what variety are we talking about? And furthermore, the question would be, how much of an Ezov, what kind of parts of the Ezov are we talking about? So all of this we're going to be dealing with today. So it says the Halakha Commission that kol Ezov, and remember that when we use an Ezov, we don't use an Ezov only for the cases of Parah Aduma, right? We talk about an Ezov for all kinds of things. So we're going to be establishing what the Ezov is very nogea. Well, if you live in Mitzrayim, at the time of the Geula, you'd need to know what an Ezov was for putting the dam on your door. You'd need to, and we actually learn out some of the dinim, as we'll see, from Ezov in Mitzrayim. If you need to be Mitzayir or Mitzayra, we also have to use an Ezov. So it's not only for Parah that we're defining it. So what does the Torah mean when it uses the Lashon of Ezov? So in our sugya, it doesn't say an Agudat Ezov note. It just says, V'lakach Ezov v'toval b'mayim. But there are places like in Mitzrayim where it says Agudat Ezov, and we'll see whether the two are nogea one and the other. So first of all, kol Ezov sheyesh lo shem levai, if it has a subspecies name. So as you know, we normally will first indicate the species name, and then we'll have a second Latin word that sounds very fancy and means something very unfancy usually, and it is the subspecies name, right? So if it's got that second name, then it's not a kosher Ezov. Now remember that the Gemara elsewhere explains that what this means is that wherever there was a differentiation at the time of Kabbalah's HaTorah into various subspecies, then if the Torah only spoke about the species as a whole, then it means that the subspecies are not included. If, however, it was after the time of Kabbalah's HaTorah that the species became more differentiated with greater and greater human awareness of the differences between those species, then the Torah did include those subspecies. So this was the general halacha that we've seen that Chazon Ish speaks about, that is nogea all over the Torah. The level of what the Torah is addressing is defined by the primitive human presence in the world. Whatever a primitive human being would think is the nature of reality, that is the Dibra Torah Kolashim B'nai Adam. It is not speaking the B'nai Adam, who are now sophisticated enough to be able to see through the Dibra Torah Kolashim B'nai Adam. It's because of that we get away with murder in so many of these halachas. It's because of that we can have a primitive relationship of pi, even. It's because of that we can have primitive brachas that are nogea things like the Brachas HaChama. It's because of that we stick to a very simple Moilad and Tzoy, so that the people in the shul can think they know when the Moilad is, even though it's irrelevant. But it's an average, and people think in terms of averages. So one of the issues that this is nogea, obviously the most prevalent and clear-cut, is that when you become aware of the fact that everything that you're eating is filled with shratzim, as long as you don't see those shratzim, they have no relevance in the halacha. So that means that what you can't see as a primitive person don't hurt you. Okay, so that's the description of your overall relationship to the nature of reality. Therefore, if it had a shem levayim, when we say had a shem levayim, we mean at that time that when the Torah was given, there was a Shem Levi. So because of that, we would say, well, the Torah didn't say that kind of Eza. So then that would be kosher. So in other words, if a person, again, primitive person, looks at an Ezov and says, oh, this is an Ezov. Well, that is an Ezov. But if a person looks at an Ezov and says, oh, this is an Ezov Yon, and why would people know about that particular subspecies? Because it was used as medication. People use that to treat intestinal worms. Okay, so because of that, people were well aware of the difference between an Ezov Yon and a Stam Ezov. Or he would say, this is an Ezov Kuchlit. That's because it was bluish colored. And he wouldn't just call it a regular Ezov. Or this is an Ezov Romi. Or this is an Ezov Midbari. All such Ezovim are possible because a regular person would have identified them by their subspecies name. Now, how about an Ezov that is Truma, and it's Tamei? So an Ezov shall Truma Tamei'ah is possible, because since we saw before in the previous Mishnah, we saw that it's Mekabo Tuma, and that would be in the event that you grew it and you picked it for food, you're going to have to take off Truma, and if it became Tamei, you cannot use it in order, we're going to see in the next Mishnah, you cannot use it because of, not only because it's going to make the mechatas puzzle, if it's tame, which is obviously an issue, but it's puzzle even as the Ezov, as we're going to see as we go along. And in this case, we don't have to come onto the Sfora that it's going to puzzle the mechatas, because let's imagine a case of an Ezov that doesn't have a shear of a kibetza. So if it, we said before, if it doesn't have a shear of a kibetza, so then it's not going to be metame the mechatas. But it itself remains possible. Fine. Okay. And one of the things that we learn out from the pasuk of the hizah hatahor al hatame is that the hazah itself has to be with what is tahor. In which case, even if the ezov is not metame, it itself has to be tahor. Now, this is not nogea it being truma, because this would be true even if it was a nogea chulin, because chulin is also mekabel tuma. It's just mekabel from different levels of tuma, but if it was tame, it would be pasul even if it wasn't a truma. But we'll see that is nogea truma as the next halacha, because vishel tahira, in the event that the ezov was tahor, then if it's truma, then nonetheless, lo yazeh. Why? Because it would be possible that it would possible because even truma tahira is considered to be tamei when it comes to the chatas. So therefore, if it's truma, which is tahor, also you should not utilize it to be mazeh, because that way it could also pasul there's two ways of learning this, because it could be talking about even in the event that it was tahor l'chatas. There was no problem. The problem is that even if it were tahor l'chatas, let's say that something would be pasul in the mechatas besides. And then if the chatas would now be pasul, it would actually cause you to need to burn the truma. So then we would be chayshesh on the psul of the truma, because the mechatas that we're psuling would be metamim the truma. And if that's the case, we're always chayshesh for hefse truma. Therefore, we mentioned truma before, even if it was ordered to have this case, even if it was star. Because if we were only talking about tame, we could have talked about chulin. But the point over here is also to be chayshed for our hefse truma. That's why it mentions that if it's tahar lo yazeh. Imi Zayf, Lamaisa, Baruch Hashem, everything went fine, and you ended up using it, and you did the wrong thing, and you took the chance, but Lamaisa, it would be kosher, b'dievet. Ein mazin, lo beyond the kot, velo bitmorot, which we're about to explain. So you're not allowed to do the hazayah with the yon kot or the tmorot. The tmorot are just the, I wish I had an, I do have a nice picture, but it's in a book of the Azov. As if you've ever seen the za'atar plant, that's the Azov that we're referring to, very common. And what the tamarot are these sticks that have all of these pieces sticking out of them on the top of the za'atar, which is the part that's good for the, that's good for the spice. So we don't use the tamara to actually do the hazaya with. But in the event that you actually, you did. So let's say somebody took the hazaya, he was tamei nes, and he got the hazaya with dafka, the part that we just said not to use, with the tamarot. The din not to use the tamarot is a derabona, not a deraita. So because of that, he would not be chayev for knisa lemigdash. So since he's not tamei midiraisa, he would not be chayev in chayovin ala yon kot al biyat hamigdash. So therefore, we're gonna be talking about the truth is that there's a little bit of the mission is about to discuss the yon kot, so we'll give it a chance. But there's a little bit of unclarity of exactly what chelik of the plant we're talking about, but the Mishnah is about to talk about it. So Rabbi Eliezer Omer, the truth is that af lo ala tamarot, even if they utilized the tamarot, which we don't know what they are yet, which the Tanakhama said if you utilize the tamarot, that then you would be chayev on Bias HaMikdash. Rabbi Eliezer says even on the tamarot, you would not be chayev. What do we mean when we talk about the Yon Kod? We're talking about the part of the Giva Olin Shelo Gimalu. We're talking about the parts that are on the Giva Ol that haven't opened up yet, meaning they're not flowered. So now again, if you take a look at the Azov, they're very, very sticky. They've got these spikes coming out of the plant of the Azov. On the spikes that grow out of the main stem of the Azov, the top of each spike ends up flowering into these little peats where the stamens are zat. And this is the part that will be used. In this case,
I'm looking on and it's coming up for Igama.
Yeah, no. The reason that is a mistake. And the reason that it is a very interesting basis for that mistake, the mistake comes from the fact that the Samaritans who use an azov for their paschal offering. So they do like a avedas mitzrayim to sprinkle the blood. So they have decided that that is what the azov is. So because of that, the word got around that an azov could be either za'atar or what they use it for. I think it's a type of oregano, actually. But that's a bunch of bull. There doesn't seem to be any mocker for that, really. But
what's the even? Because this is, and I'm looking at it, it says Azov Matsui. Is there another name that would refer to what we're looking for? Hyssop.
Yes, the Azov Matsui in English is hyssop, and there's like this big mistake that connects it to a succulent that the chatav, which is called also. Which also is used, people use the word azov, is not accurate. Okay.
Hyssop is correct or incorrect?
Hyssop in the English is correct. Common hyssop. Yeah, so the year we're talking about where they didn't flower yet. So that's what we mean when we call the tamarot. So what we said is that the tamarot, according to the Tanakhama, are absolutely necessary. It's not called azov yet if there are no tamarot. Masha Enkin, Rabbi Eliezer says, no, it's still called, it's only a psul drabanan, but it would still be called an azov. But we don't paskin like that. We paskin that it's not. So a yon kot, on the other hand, is talking about where they haven't yet become these prachim. That's the meaning of the yon kot. And the meaning of the tamarot as we said before, is utilizing the fully grown flower. Mishnah Chet. Ezov Shizab. So remember that we use the Ezov, and here we're going to be talking about something like that, not only here, but we use it for the Tziporim of the Mitzora. So what happens? Remember that first we do the Shechita of which, bring two birds. We do the shechita of one of these birds on Mayim Bekeli, and you use the ezov, which we'll see as in the end is supposed to be an agudat ezov. You dip it into the water that had the dam of the tzipor hashchuta in it, and you sprinkle that on the mitzvah. So now, if you use the ezov for the mechatas, can you then take the same ezov and use it for a mitzvah or not? So an ezov shehizabo kasher letaherbo et hamitzora. If you use the ezov for the poraduma, then that does not pasul its use for the mitzora, because there's no psul of melacha like there is for the mechatas. If you would have used it the other way around, then you would have pasuled it the melacha. Hashenkin, the ezov for the mitzora is not nifsal the melacha. So therefore, you could use it again. How about if likato le'etzi? You pick this ezov, not for ma'achal, so it's not mekabel tuma. You picked it in order to use the burn in your stovetop. So at that time, since we saw back in Shmias that what you were kovea at the time of the lakita, that's kovea its ability to be mekabel tuma. So in this case, if the person had been located le'etzim, then even if water or one of the Shiva Mashkin, remember our simon, Yad Dam Shachat, if one of those Sheva Mashkin had fallen on it, which if it had been picked for Achila, would have made it Roy L'Kabel Tuma, but here it's not Roy L'Kabel Tuma because it's considered to be Eitzim Bioma. And therefore, you do have to get rid of all the water, because otherwise you'll passel it by mixing water with the mechatas. But if you dry it, minagvo, so if you took off all of the water, then you can still use it, because there's no pigam of its suitability in Kabbalah's tuma. But how about if it was picked in order to be an eichlin, and then naflu alav mashkin? At that point, it doesn't matter if you dry it, because if you dry it, you're only addressing the question of whether you're going to be mixing water with the mechatas. The problem is that we have a takona derabana, that anything that is roi lekabel tuma is not allowed to be used for the mechatas. So even though it wasn't yet tame, even that it's possible for it to be tame makes it possible. Because of that, it won't help to dry it off, because of course the din of heksher for kapos tumas eichlin is not that it has to be wet at the time; it's just that it had to once have been exposed to one of the shiva mashkin. So therefore, afa pishin nigvo, it would remain posel. Now the question is, how about if you had in mind specifically when you picked it that you want to use it for the mechatas? Then can you dry it off or not? So it's a machlokas. Lik de lechatas kimalakit la'ochlin. If you did have in mind specifically to use for the mechatas, so then it would still be ro'i to be eaten afterwards. There's no reason why you wouldn't be able to eat it. And therefore, even if you were nigvo, then it should be the same halacha, because you'll use it for your chatas. But it's still kinil kat la'ochlin, divrei Rabbi Meir. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon Aimrim, kinil kat la'etzim, that it's not true. According to Rabbi Meir, you take a look at what the stam usage is. Stam usage, as we said before, of an ezov that's considered to be an oichlin. Masha enkein, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Rabbi Yossi, and Rabbi Shimon, the only way that an oichlin is considered to be an oichlin is if you are picking it in order to eat it. But if you picked it in order, like we said before, for it to be used as firewood on your stovetop, or if you picked it in order for it to be used for mechatas. It's exactly the same thing. It's not a food. Since it's not a food, it does not become roi lekabel tuma, even if it's exposed to mashkin. As long as you wipe off those mashkin, it would still be kosher lemechatas. Okay, Rabosan gives us some beginnings of understanding what an ezov is, the parts of the ezov. You got... Great. Okay, I'll take a look at it. Well, you already posted it on our group?
Yeah. Yeah, I'm trying to define what Rebbe meant by the tomorrow.
Let me see.
Rebbe.
Well, it's an interesting picture, but it doesn't really bring out the spikes. I don't know that this is... Where'd you get this picture from?
This is from Wikipedia. Hmm. I thought it was used because it shows the stages of the body.
Yeah, that's all very nice, but there's no spikes.
Well, that's on the top. That's the spikes over there on the top.
No, that's just the top of the leaf. No. No.
Rebbe's saved for last from, what's his name, from Professor Felix?
Yes, but the Professor Felix's picture is the same as the one in the Marota Mishnah, which is very, very, it's black and white, and it's very unclear. There is, in the plants of the Bible, there is a nice picture, but I'd have to get that, and I'll try to find it and take a picture and post it.
Okay, I've also got the new tour guide book, which has been
sponsored. Oh, okay, take a look over there. Excellent. All right. Very good. You can even have a hyssop tour. How do you like that? Grand idea. We have the Sanhedrin tour. We have the Azov tour.
Right. Rebbe, I wanted to comment about the cave. That caves in some parts of the country were very normally used for all types of activities, not just as a hideout.
So yeah, but we wouldn't have called it the Marota of so-and-so. Marota of so-and-so is his kefir.
But since the other one is Matsarkin, which is the olive press, which is a normal use...
I understand, but I never heard anywhere, call it Tarkulov, calling a Marata of so-and-so that didn't mean his burial cave. You can tie that, it means his cave in which he keeps his guests. That's not the normal usage. Okay, Rabotai, it's been a pleasure. May we be zecha to meet tomorrow in great simcha v'sasen in the Chodesh Av. And if worse comes to worse, may we be zecha to meet tomorrow. See, Bezrat Hashem. Kol Tov.